Yo, 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 what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Winject Radio presented by Winject Studios. I'm your host for today, Chris Ross, and as you can tell, I have a beautiful soul on the other end of this named Mark DaCosta Rubio, one of my personal friends. He is, if you don't know who he is, you might want to use a thing called Google, and that might can help you try to find more about this guy. Just kind of like in a nutshell, he's grown four of the fastest companies. Obviously, we're, you know, top 500, what, four times, right? Is it four times or five times?
Four times, number 383.
Right. It's crazy stuff. He's been attached to names from the ones that call themselves gurus, but he's the guy behind the gurus to make things work and tick and move. He's like a guy that fades into the black. He's Mr. Wizard of Oz himself. What's up, dude? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, bud. I love the intro. The intro you guys have is awesome.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people say that, and it does mean a lot. I like the music. It sits. It really does a lot for some of the guests that when they come on, that you can see them bopping. Like I see them down there in StreamYard, they're like bopping and stuff. So I guess we kind of like not our team. David, he does the, you know, like all the intros and the video graphics and whatnot. He does a phenomenal job. A little shout out to David. Yeah, so he does a great job. This week, this is the third week of Winject Radio and us making a shift with now Winject.com's live. We did a soft launch 2.0 with the community, some other things that we're adding. And we made a little shift with some of the strategic partners on covering or getting a swing at certain topics pertaining to, I guess, business, or it could be sales, marketing, operation. But This week's talking about cultivation of, you know, discipline. And we had a couple different sidebar conversations right before we hit live on this, talking about willpower in different types of ways and strengthening that muscle rather than, and then you can start to investigate and how to slow down time. And I couldn't pick a better person to obviously have this conversation with, because this is what we do on so many different levels. I guess for the most part, before we kind of go all the way deep into today's topic, if I said, Marks, give me top three things on how to cultivate discipline, what would you say?
That's a really good question. I think we first have to define discipline, right, Chris? Because people have, you know, there's all these different definitions of discipline, you know, doing what you don't want to do, but feeling like it, and all, you know, and we can go down this rabbit trail. The truth of the matter is discipline is pretty simple. It's the awareness for an action and then the action itself. Mm-hmm. If that gap is instantaneous, you have discipline. If the awareness for action and then the action itself has a long gap, it's called procrastination. Mm-hmm. And that can happen out of different reasons or different methods. And the most important thing for discipline is actually the reason. Why do you want to do it? Mm-hmm. If you don't have a purpose for it, doesn't work.
That's the most offensive question you can ask anyone is why.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
When you start to look at the reasons behind it and the motivation, people don't even understand what motivation is. People say, oh, I'm a motivational speaker. Okay, well, that's just the motive, though. That just gives you a reason why you're doing certain things. That's not really going to do anything. It's more about you following through and then taking massive action and making it non-negotiable when it pertains to what you do right now. That's where I argue with people when they talk about stuff like that. And I'm like, you really don't understand what you're actually really saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, discipline, you asked, what are the three things? There's three things about discipline. It's not easy. It must be consistent and constant. And then, as Jim Rohn said, for every discipline, there are multiple rewards, meaning everything affects everything else. So, and this is going to be an unpopular comment I'm going to make, but I'm going to make it anyway, right? Because why not? And I don't think, and we'll talk about willpower in a minute, I don't think discipline is necessarily true discipline unless it encompasses all areas of your life. Mm-hmm. And this is where people really get not lost or upset, but somewhat misguided. You know, the guy says, well, you know, I'm really disciplined in my, you know, working out routine or discipline this, but then he lacks discipline everywhere else. You can't call that real discipline. Mm-hmm. Because if we go back to the definition that we had, which is an awareness for action and the action itself, that encompasses every single category of your life. It doesn't matter what it is. You're either disciplined or you're not. It's like you're either motivated or you're not, right? There is no go get motivated. And this is a very unpopular topic awareness, because I have a lot of clients that are very successful, very wealthy, you know, a couple of billionaires, right? And these guys, when they first encountered me, one guy over 10 years ago, you know, we had sort of had this discussion, right? Because we look at seven areas of life and we had this discussion. He goes, well, you know, I don't really think I need to do that or do this. And we came down to, well, you know, do you want to have a great life or not? And his question was, well, duh, why do you think I'm, you know, hiring you? I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm just asking. But you can't be great here and then crappy here. It just doesn't pan out. Mm-hmm. The principles are universal natural laws that must be applied in every area of your life. So somebody goes, well, you know, I'm really great and they're out there making a ton of money and they're doing great and they're successful and they're breaking, but then their marriage is falling apart, or mm-hmm. they're not good with their kids, or they're overweight, or they're underweight, or they're a-holes, you know, all these different areas. And then they see themselves as a disciplined person. I don't consider that discipline. Mm-hmm. To me, discipline is the awareness for action and then the action. It doesn't matter where it is. It doesn't matter if it's in your health, in your business, in your relationship. It doesn't matter. You know, are you going awareness for action, then action? If the answer is yes, you're a disciplined person. If not, then you're screwed. So it's not easy. It must be consistent and across all areas. And for every discipline, there's a multiple reward. You're going to get more back than you put in, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. And then willpower, we'll talk about willpower in a second. I don't even want to interject, but go ahead.
No, that's something that you've helped me with personally in my life, where I was able to exceed expectations and do phenomenal things when it came to business, but I was failing in the other areas in my life. And that's where I had to go back into alignment. And then just, you mentioned on one other episode, I think it was one of our first ones when we did the win-win effect, you mentioned that the same way you attacked one thing is the same way you attack something massive. It's just, that's how you start to really look at the little small movements it takes to overachieve whatever you're setting out for.
Well, so, you know, you've heard the saying that some people are one kind of person in business, another kind of person in personal life, right? Yeah. That causes incongruency or cognitive dissonance and all kinds of psychological issues. What you're hoping for is to be the same kind of person you are in one area as the other area. And I've only met a few people like that. I mean, in my whole life, I've met probably less than five, actually one, two, three people. One of them was Muhammad Ali. Hmm. And, you know, he was the same guy in the ring as he was outside the ring, as he was in private. He was always the same, which gave him such great peace of mind, regardless of if he had Parkinson's. Another guy is one of my current mentors, who's almost 90 years old. And let's go really quick to willpower. Hmm. So what do you think, if I was to ask you, you know, the great Chris Ross, what do you think willpower is?
Sorry, I'm coming back. I had to shut this door real quick. That's but okay. The like willpower to me is just you. Let me hit this button over here. Sorry.
No worries, man. It's all good.
Willpower to me is doing things with that serves a purpose or an overall mission, right? So if you said for me personally, if the same way I'm going to attack something, I'm going to look at things in a different way. But if it's not into alignment, I need to scale that back a little bit further. And it's like the same way I'm going to, like, maybe let's make an example. This is the best way to try to like explain it. Me making my bed in the morning. Well, sure. I want to finish everything that I do. You have to finish everything. Or say you cook yourself breakfast. You can sit, you have time to eat breakfast. You sit down and you cook your breakfast and you sit down to eat your breakfast. But then you'll take your plate and whatever you cooked, your dish, and you sit in the sink. I have to go. Well, I want to finish everything that I start. And that's, so, to me, is understanding like that willpower is following through on everything that I do.
Well, that is a, you're right in the sense that that is an indication somebody has willpower, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, willpower is, again, sort of, it's tied to discipline, right? Which what you brought up. So let me give you discipline we think is the awareness for an action and the action itself. And then that gap, right? It's I got to do this and I do it. That's discipline, right? And that right. goes in across all areas. You know, if you have an argument with a loved one, and you go, oh man, I should apologize. And the minute that thought comes in, you go, I'm so sorry. You don't delay and then rationalize. Well, you know, she was this, and then, you know, then you get that procrastination, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So willpower is divided into two things in my mind. The will, which is the conscious mind, and power, which is the unconscious mind.
Right.
So willpower is controlling your unconscious mind. Let me give you an example. When you get up in the morning, you know, I get up in the morning and, you know, one of the first I start doing some breathing exercises. First thing I do, right? In the beginning of my day, and I'm up sometimes pretty early, and it's not like I want to go do my breathing exercise and my push-ups and my cold bath, right? It's like, ugh. But now I have no choice because it's been programmed into my mind by my will that it's now something that I do every single day, which gives me power.
Yes.
So the will is the conscious desire to do something. I want to do this. So, you know, you go, I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to do an ice bath every morning. That's your will. Now, the question is, will you get the power, which is what your subconscious mind affected by your conscious mind mm-hmm. becomes a habit. Now, there's a lot of ways to get that happening, right? And most people who have certificates and degrees don't know jack shit about how to do that stuff. They don't. Right. They really do not, right? Even if they think they do, they don't. And I can't tell how many times I've had people that have come to me who've gone to therapists and psychoanalysts, and then I've got to undo everything they've learned. And I had one lady whose lover had killed herself in front of her. I think I told you this.
Yeah, you told me the story. That was
20 months, thousands of dollars with these therapists. It took me one session to get her 80% better, two sessions 100% better, done. And again, not my job, but you know, I just know how to do it. And because we're tapping into the subconscious mind. So the willpower really is, will is what Chris wants. Chris goes, you know what? I want to go back to boxing and I want to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, cool. You made that choice. But now what? Now that power only comes if you're able to program your subconscious mind. Everything we do, you, me, everybody included, is done by the subconscious mind. Whether we affect that consciously or not is really the key to success and happiness, in my opinion. And it's not as complicated, but it does take effort. So willpower is your conscious mind controlling your subconscious mind. You know, Napoleon Hill said in his book, Think and Grow Rich, in the chapter of subconscious mind, he said, it's all about the subconscious mind. Every other of these 12 principles is just to get you to affect the subconscious mind. Wallace Waddles talked about it. Emerson talked about it. I mean, everybody who's anybody talked about that. Even Jesus, right? The great Nazarene talked about it. But that's really willpower. So discipline and willpower are sort of these twin brothers or sisters. You can't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm. So say, for instance, if I was an individual and someone you were trying to coach at the beginning, sure. How would you go about checking if I had all the right principles in place?
So that's a great, great question. And I do it in a tricky way. And let me explain to you why. So remember, I lost my first fortune, right? It was $10 million in the bank and making a couple of dollars a year. Lost it 2008. Wow, it's been a minute. And it took me 2 years to recoup. And then I went back into the whole process and got it back twice as fast, twice as much, and much more now. And one of the things that we need to find out is, where are you exactly? So we have this thing called the intake form, which gets down every single one of your seven categories, all your existing behavior. And then I trick you. And I trick you at the end of the intake form by asking for your values. Mm-hmm. And everybody always gives me the wrong values. And then there's a little trick question at the end that elicits the real values, but you don't know what it is. You're like, oh, this is a different question. You kind of write it down. And that's what the real values are. So for me to find out where you lack, what the chances are, I got to find out, where are you now? Mm-hmm. And once I know where you are, I can find, okay, well, here's what's going on. I go, look, Chris, you know, you this is lacking. What do you think? And then you'll have these, you know, BFOs, blinding flash of the obvious, right? Like, oh my God, you're right. Oh my God, you're right. And the reason why we don't do something has nothing to do with the thing itself. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you wanted to work out, hypothetically speaking, you want to go back to lifting weights or boxing, whatever the case would be. And you just can't get yourself to do it, right? You're like, and then you keep rationalizing. I'm too busy at work, or, you know, I'm tired. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those are all accurate rationalizations. And then you think to yourself, okay, well, I lack discipline in this area of wanting to back to boxing or working out, whatever the case would be. And you equate the two. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, it's not the same. The reason why you're not working out in this example, right, or boxing has nothing to do with working out or boxing. There's an underlying benefit that you're getting from not working out, mm-hmm. that you're getting from not going to the gym.
I see.
And, right? And that underlying benefit is controlled by your subconscious mind. Well, no, Chris, you know, if we don't go, we get this benefit. So you can try to discipline yourself to change that. But if you don't change the underlying benefit of why you're not going, you're never going to get there. But the minute we find out what that is, and it happens like this, we change it. Now there's no longer a need for discipline, because you are disciplined, right? You either are or you're not. There's no such thing as getting discipline. When we unhook that, you know, whatever block has you, and we replace with something else, now going to the gym or going to boxing, it becomes a natural consequence. Mm-hmm. You've experienced this. I've experienced this. There's things that we're just not doing. And all of a sudden, one day we just do it. And we didn't require, you know, this effort and this force, like, I'm going to do it. Like, it just sort of happened. I go, okay, well, I decide I'm sort of doing it. Something shifted because of the willpower inside your subconscious mind, which now gives you discipline. Right. So discipline, some people think, is something you go and acquire. Like, I'm going to go be disciplined. No, you either are or you're not disciplined, depending 100%. Upon what, okay.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the more that you do things over and over, obviously you're now developing a pattern, right? Correct. Then going into habit, and then it turns into a personality trait. AKA lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. When I actually was on a panel and that was asked this question, it was funny, man. They were talking about what's your daily routine. I was like, routine. I don't like the word routine. I like the word ritual.
Yeah. Tony Robbins changed that too. He used to go from habits. But you know what, Chris, despite whatever you call it, mm-hmm. it's just a pattern of behavior, right?
Yes. That was my point. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you kind of call it, whatever's going to make it more of an impact for you positively into your life, short-term and long-term. Like what works for me isn't going to work for everybody else out there, but you can definitely start seeing a pattern that goes, okay, well, I can use that and implement that in my life. But you touched on one thing that I'm going to circle right back to. Is taking something negative that it's actually bringing you discomfort or bringing you, I don't know, dissatisfaction in your life. And you know, it can potentially ruin you short term and long term. You need to remove it. But in order for you to remove it, you have to put something else in its place.
So there's everything we do has a benefit for us.
Yes.
Right. Everything, whether it's smoking crack or paying hookers or building companies, it all has a benefit. Right. And the benefit doesn't have to be rational. Mm-hmm. It just has to be understood. And so your subconscious mind goes, well, I need this benefit. And this is a behavior I know how to do to get the benefit. Mm-hmm. The minute you understand what the benefit is, you can now add any behavior you want to give yourself the same benefit. Let me give an example, a silly example, right? A father yells at a son, damn it, you mother, blah, 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 blah. And his benefit is he wants his son to be better or do good or good in school, right? But the behavior isn't giving him the benefit he wants. In other words, the results. But he thinks he's getting the benefit of the behavior. All I'm going to teach my kid is to yell at him, right? Like, that's what he'll learn. Okay, cool. So what's the benefit? I want to teach my kid to learn. The behavior is yelling at him. So we don't eliminate the benefit. We just change the behavior by understanding what the benefit is. So, hey, you know what? And we go, whoop, we change that. Go, now it's talking to him, kissing him, loving him, whatever the case would be. You're going to get the same benefit. When the subconscious mind goes, oh, okay, well, that's going to give me the benefit. Great. It doesn't have to have a discipline, willpower, because you've used willpower to become discipline. You've changed the subconscious mind with your conscious mind. And now discipline is, you know, my son comes in, I kiss all my kids on the lips, all of them. My boys, my girls, makes no difference, right? So they were like this little. And I do it because it's a behavior. But I know for them, it's also showing how much I care. The benefit is dad loves me no matter what, doesn't give a crap, right? And I get the benefit. If the benefit was smacking him in the butt or smacking him in the head to show my love, I do it, right? But it's the best behavior for the proper benefit. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at discipline not as a behavior trait, but as a consequence of the understanding of how to use willpower to affect the subconscious mind. And everything you do, like we said earlier, me, you, good or bad, is a behavior set that's programmed in the subconscious mind. The question is, where did you learn that? And is it helping you? Now, mm-hmm. the other thing about your routine, you said that you have rituals that you do every morning that may not work for everybody. I have a little bit of a disagreement with that in the sense that, you know, I love to follow science, right? And some people go, well, you know, eat whatever makes you feel good. That's not true. There is, without a shadow of a doubt, unequivocally already proven, the best diet. There is, you know, we know that ice baths are good. We know that saunas are good, right? So you don't have to do them. But if you do them, they're affecting your body in a physiological way that affects everybody else. And I think the techniques on how to affect and change our willpower or reprogram ourselves, to use the old adage, is the same, whether it's for you, for me, or somebody else. The difference becomes, how do you get there? So I have, you know, multiple clients that are all very different businesses. And the end result for me is always the same, right? When I'm looking at them, I'm going to change this because that's what they want to change. How I get there will depend upon what they give me.
Right.
But the tools will be the same, right? It's like boxing. You know, this jab, cross, hook, uppercut, overhand, right? Bob and weave, back, you know. So you can do jab, jab, cross. You can do a jab, cross, hook. But it's all the same punches, right? How you use them depends upon the feedback you're getting from your existing opponent. Mm-hmm.
And that's by you just reading engaging energy pretty quickly.
You know, I mean, it's in my particular case, I mean, you know, I've read so many books, right? And I've attended so many seminars, but more importantly, honestly,
yeah, that's not a backdrop behind him, guys, ladies and gentlemen. That's all his books.
That's one of the three libraries in the house, right? it's not a backdrop. It is, in fact, mine. No, you know, Chris, and also because I mean, I've been doing this for so long, and I've had so many different cases, so many different people, and I have the attitude that you stick with it until, right? So I've had, you know, clients. I mean, look, I used to do therapy, right? I've had clients that come in and they want something and they don't realize they'd have to magnify their skill or diminish their wants. And that becomes very interesting, right? But it's a matter of how do you get good at boxing? You practice, you box, and you spar, right? You spar thousands of them. That's been me, right? I've had so many different cases and so many different situations. I've just sort of figured it out. And the truth is that the better I get, the less stuff I need to get the change to happen. But anyway, we digress. So willpower, I think, you know, discipline is one of my favorite. I mean, I have it tattooed, right? Discipline, mm-hmm. right? So discipline to me is one of my favorite words of all time. But I think discipline is a consequence of a change in the mindset that gives us discipline, which then looks like we're disciplined, but in reality, we're just following the program we've given ourselves in the subconscious mind.
Right. And I would 100% agree with this. Also have to investigate when it comes to willpower. I just want to be able to control my awareness of what's actually happening in my mind. Would you say it's just about raising your awareness of you understanding what's actually happening?
So that's a really great, I mean, that's a really great question again, you know, and we can go guys like Ray Dalio who've been meditating for, you know, right. I don't know, 50 years, literally. Right. Or Howard Stern meditated, you know, we can look at the guys like Wim Hof, and we can go down the list of all these guys who most of us know who talk about disengaging from the thought. But mm-hmm. here's the problem. And I know you've experienced this because I have, we all do, right? You go, oh, you know, I shouldn't eat that cake or I shouldn't watch that TV show. And you're telling yourself you shouldn't do it, but you end up doing it anyway. So you have this battle inside, you know, talk about the good wolf and the bad wolf. You have this battle inside. That's awareness. That's an awareness that you're
conscious about. That's a deeper level. That's a deeper level for me because I don't like to be told what to do. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm like, I'm rebellious. So I'm going to do it because you told me I couldn't do it or whatever.
Right. The opposite,
so in my mind.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, but you have to ask yourself the question of, do I want to be that way all the time? So
right.
It goes back to choice, right? So somehow you've learned your programming to be rebellious. Somewhere you learned that, right? Cool. Mm-hmm. And it's benefited you greatly in some areas, but probably in other areas, it's might not been the best. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is understand that it's our choice. In this area, I'm going to be that. You know what? Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do my own thing. But in these other areas, I want to be told what to do. So I'll give an example. So I'm the same way that you are, right? Like, I don't tell me what to do. But mm-hmm. when I go to jiu-jitsu, I want to be told what to do.
Well, I think that's why you have to. I think that's why you go towards more science, because it's truth. If you gave me scientific proof of what this is doing to my life, short term and then long term, I'm going to make a conscious decision to stop doing X, Y, Z, because now I have the proof.
Well, you're going to try. You're going to try to make a conscious decision to do that. So I think, you know, I'm going to steal this line from Wim Hof, right? Feeling is understanding. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll make certain claims to my clients, you know, double income, double time off, whatever, you know, whatever our little hook line is. And I tell them, I said, don't believe me. Just experience it for yourself. And that's when you get a visceral, a physical body understanding of something, right? So, you know, if I say, look, Chris, you don't really need discipline, we'll get you to be disciplined, but we'll do it through a back door. And you go, that's impossible. Okay, let's do it. And then you go, shit, you're right. And now you have a change in belief because you've experienced something, which mm-hmm. now says, oh my goodness, this is accurate. And now you get to get more control of your brain. So, you know, an example would be, after I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetic, right? I was like, there's no way I'm going to, you know, become like all these other guys with complications. I'm just not going to do it. And I searched and searched and searched. And I tried everything until I went, I tried everything based on blood work, not just anecdotally, but blood work and how I felt. And I got to where, now I know this is not only science shows it's true, but also I feel it's true. And now I have this understanding that you can't tell me, hey, you know, you should eat this. No, I've been there, done that. You could do whatever you want with this fake epidemiological studies. I know it. Same thing with your success. Well, you know, you've built companies, you've sold them, all the stuff you've done, you know. I can tell you, oh, no, actually, no, dude, you can tell what you want. I know this here. Now, I'm still mm-hmm. open-minded, but I know this here. That's what discipline is like. It's like, you know, I am myself a very disciplined person because I know how to behave as if I have discipline.
Well, that's the choice.
That is, you know, this is where people, this is what, now we're getting esoteric, right? Because, you know, I think, therefore I am, right? I mean, this conscious awareness right. that we're not just animals, we're human beings, so we have conscious awareness. And who knows what's out there, right? I mean, I'm a believer, but who knows really what's, because I've never met Jesus or God, so I can't tell you I've seen him, right? But the fact that we have this, you know, I separate the mind and the brain. And the mind is what we're now experiencing, talking to each other, talking about these, you know, topics, and the brain is what carries out the orders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when somebody has panic attacks or PTSD or anxiety or depression or self-sabotage behaviors, all that stuff, it's not the mind, it's the brain. The brain is running a program that somehow it learned and it's now generalized the program and it's running it over and over again. And the mind keeps on the brain, don't do that, do this instead. The brain goes, and gives him the finger, keeps on doing it because you're not talking the brain language. You're talking the mind language. If the mind understands how to communicate with the brain, then the mind can change the brain and the brain can behave the way the mind wants it to behave.
I totally agree.
And this is sort of the mindset. And you cannot do it, unfortunately, by conscious awareness of something. Something has to change the chemical composition inside the brain. And unfortunately for us, 99.9% of people out there are really bad at helping people do that. Even if they know NLP, Havening, unconscious restructuring, hypnosis, most of them are really not that great. And the reason is because they're stuck in one modality or they have a view of the world that they impose on the client, such as, you know, do you want to get rid of this memory?
No.
Why would you effing
ask
me that?
Like, yeah. Even if it's bad, I still want to have that memory because it happened.
It's not the best question to ask because at that point in time, I know we're digressing, but just let me finish the thought. At that point in time, they're imposing their world of the view of what they've learned on you. Mm-hmm. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to become a mirror of the individual. I always say, I say this to my clients, is I tell you what you're telling me that you're not going to tell yourself. Mm-hmm. I tell you what you're telling me that you're not telling yourself.
I like that.
And because I'm paying attention to what's going on. Forget about me. At that point, I don't exist. I'm trying to look at what's the process inside Chris's head. What's great and what does he need to adopt? What is he telling me he needs to work on himself, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not imposing something on you. I'm not going to say, hey, you should, you know, eat PKD, which is meat, fat, and organs. You know, if you ask me what the best thing, I'll tell you, but I'm looking, what does Chris really want? And then I give you back, which is why the work is so effective, which is why we can double. It's not me. I'm just there to feed you back what you're telling me. And then I have the tools and techniques to help you change that inside your own head, because that's what you want. Mm-hmm. I would, you know.
And I believe that's a reflection of all the reps that you put in on different areas of understanding the human brain.
Of course.
Also understanding different individuals. But it's not really the exterior or the situation, because you've been there before and you can identify patterns a lot faster than most people, because this is what you do.
If you don't understand eye accessing cues and have done it 1,000 times, you can't apply Havening the right way. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand language patterns, both the Milton model and the Meta model, you can't do Havening the right way. So you can learn Havening, we've talked about this before, example, but unless you understand all these things, it's irrelevant to you. It's like walking around with a hammer without knowing what to do with it. Mm-hmm. You have to understand all these different disciplines. It's like, imagine if you would, and I know we're getting off topic, but this kind of is interesting. Imagine if you would a big old piano, right? And I took the keyboard and I took 6 keys and give it to this guy and 6 keys to that guy. And I spread all over the world. And you're like, oh, I got the music and you got 6 keys. That's not the case. You got to get the whole keyboard and then you can play all the music you want. That's the way the brain works. These people have these different myopic views of this keyboard. What I've done or still try to do is try to get the entire keyboard, because I don't know what you need me to play, right? But if I only got 6 keys or 12 keys, mm-hmm. I can't help you. If I got the full keyboard, then I can do a great job.
Right. Well, that's by understanding the full situation. And I don't believe we got off topic. I just think that we steered the conversation and where it needed to go, where they're not asking the right question when it pertains to discipline. Right.
So agreed. Right. So let me ask you this. I love Elon Musk. Right. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I think he's a great guy. And you don't have to agree. But if you said to him, hey, Elon, are you disciplined? Who knows what his answer would be? Yes or no. Right. But if you look at his behavior set, he's very disciplined. Right now, he likes to work 20 bazillion hours a week, whatever. Richard Koch, a good friend of mine, you know, who's worth a couple $1 billion now, he only works 1 hour a day. But if you ask him, are you disciplined? Who knows what he says? But he's got the same behavior set every single day.
And that goes down deep, all the way down ingrained to their values.
It is all about the value. Values are what we find to be important or not important, right? So, and here's the problem, and I'm glad you brought that up. And part of the intake form talks about values is, if I ask you what your values are, you'll list them for me. You know, I value my daughter in this, and then you can list. Okay, cool. If I take that at face value, you're lying to me.
Hmm.
Because that's not the truth. If I then ask you, how did you behave in an emergency? I'll know what your values are. And then I go based on that, not based on what you told me. What you told me is what you think your values should be, but it's not true. Now, let's take a step back. It doesn't matter what your values are. There's no moral connotation. We're not going to judge you. If you put, you know, freedom is more important than my daughter, we're going to go, oh, what a horrible human being Chris is, right? No, no, no. That's just the way your brain is. Now, what we can do is once we understand the real values, we can align them to get you what you want.
Right.
Meaning, you know, if I want my daughter to be the happiest, healthiest, most loving girl in the world, but she's number 3 on your values list, that's okay. We can take the number 1 and 2 values, utilize them to get the behavior that get you the goal of making your daughter number 1 in your life. So once you understand what is really like inside someone's mind with the values, you can make it a conscious aware of them, and then you can use those to get them what they want and make happier. Instead, you know, with all these personal growth books, but not the old ones, but the new ones particularly, they're so lame and retarded and just super stupid because they make you feel like shit.
Well, they make you feel like shit. And it's, they say that they aren't judging, but they are prejudging.
They're totally judging.
So I want to make one statement when it comes to this. So what you're saying is with on the hierarchy of the value, what you do is you actually reorder it based upon what they're giving you.
I guess you say
non-verbally.
Yeah, well, not verbally too. It's we don't reorder it. We uncover the real values.
Okay, for them to make their own conscious decision.
So example would be, you know, for me, you know, I love my kids and my wife more than anything in this world.
Right.
Right. And you'd say, well, that's the number one value for him, but it really isn't. It's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, oh, I feel terrible because my family's not. No. I love them with anything in the world, but freedom gives me the ability to do things for them. But if I put them as number one, then I'd work all the hours that God sent me, and I'd work, you know, and then I would screw it up. But I know freedom is what drives me to become the guy that I want to be. And so it's a very uncomfortable thing to say that, but that's the truth of the way that my values are aligned.
That's interesting. And by knowing that,
I get to give my family what they want and what I want to give them. Right. So you understand? So it's not about, you know, if we look at values and if we're not honest with ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and uncover the, which
that's most, exactly I, what, that's exactly where I was going with it.
Yeah,
it's more about the excuse and the lies that you're potentially telling yourself and making it okay in your own mind, in your own judge, in your own brain. This okay, because there's a benefit to it, is what I'm basically hearing you say.
Yeah, I've never had a client or anybody for that matter who had their true values aware in their conscious mind. It's always a disconnect. That's mm-hmm. always.
But I would agree with that.
Yeah. When I tell them what their true values are, they go, you know, if I'm honest, that's exactly right. So they confirm. It's not that I don't go, I'm so great. It's like, hey, this is what I think it is. And they go, yep, but that's what it is. Great. And now they go, oh my goodness. But I don't, you know, but, oh, I kind of feel bad because I thought this was high, but it's really here, you know. And now they have this understanding of, well, hold on a second. Now you know what your true values are. Look at your behavior set. Oh my God, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But let's stop feeling guilty about that, right? What do we need to change there? Remember, look, you know, making more money and having more time off always starts with the mindset. Always, right? It always starts with the mindset. But it's beyond that. It's a metaphor for a better way of living, for a better life. You know, I just spent a week at the beach house, 8 days actually, right? And I read, I don't know, 8, 9 books. And I must have put together 2 yellow pads of paper. We're talking about 2 yellow pads of papers, right? On ideas for clients and business. And so you go, oh, well, you're vacationing. Dude, I was working so hard, but I was loving it. Because mm-hmm. I'd be sitting outside. I said to my freak getting tan, right?
Oh, yeah. Just to let everyone know, he was sending me pictures every day of the same type of picture and just of his feet in sand. But then as the days obviously progress, his feet were darker.
Right.
And that's all I said to him. I was like, your feet are getting darker.
I love it. And so as I was reading, and I read some really great books, one of which is called Willpower by Napoleon Hill. Mastermind by Napoleon Hill,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, if you haven't read it, it's a must read. Anyway, but long story short, in that book, Hill talks about, it's his memoirs. It's all the failures he had before he became rich the second time. And he talks about, he goes, I found the master key to riches. And that must be cosmic habit force. And he found it with his third wife. He was married 4 times. First one's annulled. Second one's a divorce. Third one was this one who ended up being sort of a gold digger. And the fourth one is Annie Lou, who he left with the rest of his life. And understood this master key called cosmic habit force. And he explains cosmic habit force. And the way he explains it is that the universe, the way he says, has this ability to keep on continuing what you've already started. Sort of the law of momentum, if you would.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so, you know, like, you know, I do my HRV breathing, my breathing and my cold bath every single morning. It would take something dramatic for me not to do that, right? Because it's so ingrained. That's cosmic habit force. It's no longer a disciplined effort. It's just beyond, it's bigger than me. Like there's this force behind me that gets me to do it every single day. Whether we travel or not, it doesn't matter, right? And so he understood that. And he at that point in time was in New York under negative influences in several lawsuits. And he says, my God, it's this thinking pattern, this mind, instead of mind, that negativity that keeps moving forward. So they moved to Florida and changed it. He had more disasters after that. But it was a pretty interesting discovery because talking about discipline, he didn't need discipline. It's the cosmic habit force that kept on pushing it forward, right? The sort of, and what he meant was saying is like, hey, look, you know, once you're ingrained in a habit, there's this law inside of mind, subconscious mind and universe that just keeps us moving forward. But it's easy to break. It's really easy to break.
Would you say, and I think what you're saying is powerful, but I want to go back to one topic, or one little comment you made about the values and hierarchy and reordering. But would you say it would be the best way of going about measuring and reassessing your day and figuring out, make sure that you're staying into alignment on what you truly want and what you're trying to manifest, and obviously being conscious of what you're aware about and controlling your awareness and moving on to what you actually do in the actual steps? But if you're looking at what you're valuing and trying to reorder those every day, or at least get to the point to where you're spending a little bit of your time breaking it down, you would be a little bit ahead of the curveball. I'm just morally curious. I know it's kind of like a weird way of framing a question, but that's just the way that I'm going up, because I'm looking at all these little moving parts, and this is how I'm able to control so many moving parts by me breaking it down, but not spending a lot of time on this. A lot of time I spend on this is more of just in passing thought. I might be on a way to the subway or something like that, and it'll cross my mind.
No, look, let's talk about work for a second, right? So I'm defining work as the actual doing of the thing.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Right. Not the actual thinking of the thing. So, you know, the doing of the thing, you know, work is just, I mean, really everything's work, right? If it's not working, you have to work at it, right? So work is just a word we use to say, look, I mean, it's not that you should be only working an hour a day, right? You know, Richard does, he goes through his prospective buys an hour a day, and he goes does other stuff, but he's always working on writing new books, you know, riding his bicycle, playing tennis, you know, those kind of things. So I want to make sure we understand that working to me is the doing of the things. And you shouldn't spend more than 5 hours a day doing the thing, but you can spend all the hours that God gave you thinking of the things. Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm going to do jujitsu, I can't do jujitsu more than 5 hours a day, maybe 4 or 5 max, but I can still think about new moves. I can think of, you know, I can be thinking about
how to do this. Well, That's part of it is when you're on vacation, you can't stop your brain from moving.
It's the opposite, right? It gets me to become more productive by figuring things out.
Got it. And that's how you slow down time.
Correct. And so for me, it's a matter of, you know, I literally built 3 businesses this week. Now, whether or not we can do them, I have no idea, right? But in my mind, okay, here's how we're going to do 1, 2, and 3. And you could have spent a whole year trying to do that and you wouldn't come up with it unless you are relaxed and in the flow state, right? Slowing time down, present, nothing in your brain. So back to your question about the time. To me, it's always sort of this precursor of what occurs before that. What has to happen before, you know, Chris has his planned day? What has to happen before he gets his values aligned? What has to happen? Where's the clarity really needed so everything else flows? Because what we found is that when there's force involved, we got to go back a few steps and realize where did we not get something right? Because it should all flow effortlessly, right?
Yes, it should. You shouldn't be forcing anything, right?
No. And so, and if you're forcing something, it's because there's a disconnect between your subconscious mind and your conscious mind. So we got to back up. So, you know, once you understand what your values really are and you understand what the goals you have in the 7 areas of your life, then you can plan your day in the best way you see fit. And some days are different than others. Now, I have the same routine every morning, but after that, my days are different, as they should be, right? For in my line of work, I may talk to clients, my non, who knows, right? But if I don't go back to my values and my focal points, if you would, in my seven areas, I can't plan my day productively. Mm-hmm. But if I know what my values are, if I know what I want, what the focal points are in the seven areas and what my goals are, then planning my day becomes a natural consequence of that. People try to, you know, I'm going to do a to-do list. Back up. It might make you feel good to get that off your head, and it's a good start, but how do you know what you're doing that moment in time is what's best, what you want to do? You know, this morning, I didn't have you on the calendar this morning, right?
No, this is one of the things. Yes, yeah, spurred moment. Yeah.
Right. You call me. And so I said, you know what? What I was going to do is not as important as what Chris needs me to do. So I'm going to put Chris on the calendar.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Of course, right? Now, that's based on my values. If my values were different, I'd be, you know what, Chris, I can't help you. Sorry, buddy. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's, to me, it's an easy call.
It's being okay with it yourself on being able to communicate or articulate the just saying no. And that's where I see a lot of, and that's where the loyalty comes in to play, that fear and the guilt and the shame, and it dumps all the way down the hole. You just put yourself in a really bad situation, right? Correct. Because you have to doing things. It sounds like to me, as long as it obviously it aligns with your core values, then the opportunity does present itself, you will actually move and take action. But it sounds like to me, you won't take action if it doesn't align with those values.
That is correct. You know, and I think Mark Mason in the book, The Art of Not Giving an F.
Yeah, I love it. That was one of my favorite. I've actually read that book, and I was actually in Aruba, sitting on a beach in Aruba. My feet were getting darker that day.
So the first half of the book is great. Second half is pretty mediocre. But the point he's trying to make is, hey, man, what your values are, and then make decisions based on that. So it's one piece. It's one of about six keys of the entire keyboard. But this, one of my values is to being of service, right? Being like, I love getting people to do better than they can do. It's one of my favorite things in the world. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd do what I do, right? So for me, it's like, hey, if I can elevate somebody to a higher level or contribute to their life a little bit, I'm in. Now, they got to be high performance. So if they're not high performance, I'm not in, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, because I don't want to waste my time. But if I can move the needle and make a positive impact on anybody, I mean, I'll do everything to move things aside to help with that. So for me, it's an easy decision to make, right? Peasy peasy. But let's say that somebody had asked me to go clean the church. It would have been a fat no for me. Easy, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like cleaning. I mean, I like my house clean, but I would hire somebody for that, right? So I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that it's not my thing, mm-hmm. right? So
well,
it's easy no.
Well, that's important. That's important for you to understand what isn't your thing and what is your thing.
Correct. Like integrity is a big thing. If I tell them to do something, I'm going to do it, mm-hmm. right? So
me too.
If it's not going to happen, something, you know, like something came up that was like, oh my goodness, you know, that's a bit of it. Otherwise, I'm going to get it done. That's called reliable. But I know people who are nice people, fun people, they are not reliable. They'll tell you everything you want to hear, but they'll never do it.
Right.
Those are my kind of people.
It's done through, and people that say, "Goes, well, how do you make a decision on whom you're going to be around?" I was like, well, that's really easy. I look at the change behavior if there was poor behavior before, and that's done through action. And then consistently over time, then I'm able to look at it, but then I'm also going to investigate what are the things that they deemed to be valuable in their life.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, they have to be honest, reliable, have empires in their brains. I mean, you have to think big, and they have to be very giving of their time or their money.
Yeah, that's important.
Of their time or their money.
So how do you, again, I'm going to be conscious of time here, but I'm just more, every time I have a conversation with you, I can go on for like 5 hours. But so say, for instance, you're working with someone, and what if sort of first meeting, you're sitting down with them. It could be in person, could be virtual, could be whatever, right? Makes it a little bit easier, obviously, dealing with and knowing how to recycle energy when you're in person, but doesn't really matter. With people like us, we've worked with so many people that we kind of just gradually just get there. What crosses your mind when you're asking questions with a prospective client, or when they say, okay, discipline, and something jumps out and that key indicator pops off in your mind, like bullshit level monitor? How do you go about handling that?
So the first question I ask myself is, who are they really and what did they really want? Mm-hmm. Right? And because, you know, the process of growth is actually a process of elimination, of getting rid of all the stuff that isn't you. And then your true self, right? And then, okay, what do you really want? And then along the way, anything that's not that, it's just BS, right? So I'm helping somebody who's not a client, but I wanted to help them start a little business. And they got very excited and they were going to go. And they went to the therapist, and the therapist said, oh, you're not mentally ready for that. Yeah. And I was like, what? I was like, fire them, get rid of them. You know, they make money because you're screwed up, right? So, and she was like, okay, yeah. And she was excited to hear that because that's a true self, right? So, and unfortunately, in today's world, more so than before, because of social media, most people aren't themselves. There's part of themselves, but they're not themselves. Once they become themselves, in my experience, man, their level of achievement is just, it skyrockets. Their level of happiness skyrockets. Mm-hmm. They think it's the opposite. They think they have to behave a certain way and be a certain way. And then if they're a certain way, they'll make more money, live more. It's actually the opposite.
Well, that's because, this is a why, if you want to exceed expectations or you want to do astounding things, then you need to have people around you that have been there before and can look at the things you don't see and say, yo, this is important, bro. Like, dude, you're about to run yourself into the ground.
Imagine LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. You know, anybody who you think is great, Larry Bird in basketball without a coach. You cannot.
LeBron James puts over $2 million of just for mental mental conditioning and his health.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. You can.
What most people think, that's a lot of money. To him, that's a necessity and a prerequisite to keep him operating at a certain level.
Yeah, it's you're putting money into an asset that's giving you back more money, right?
100%.
Like when somebody hires us, it's a huge investment for them. At first, like, oh my god, no, dude, you can make as much more money. The chances of anybody achieving their full potential without a coach, whether it's me or not, it doesn't matter, right? Is literally impossible. I have three coaches. One guy I paid $1 million to coach me, and nobody knows who this guy is. This is the 90-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. For lifetime coaching, right?
So I know he is, but
you know. So and so we need it. You know, I go to jiu-jitsu. I have a jiu-jitsu coach. It doesn't, you know, everybody who does anything at the highest level always needs somebody on the outside to push them in. And if you look at sports, I mean, that's a perfect example, right? The greatest golfer in the world has a coach. The coach is not the greatest golfer. He's the greatest coach or a good enough coach, right? So everybody needs somebody that is able to be perceptive enough to find out where is it that they can change, what do they want, and how do we get there? And if you understand that dynamic, your life changes. I mean, it's you know, you don't go operate on yourself. You don't, you know, everybody needs help. But yet it's terrible, Chris, because people are conditioned to think they can do it alone. Like, I'm going to go to, so I'm going to be, you know, the entrepreneurs, I'm going to go do it. No, dude, the best thing, when I lost my fortune the first time, the first thing I did was hire a guy named Cam Frazier. I couldn't afford Cam. I was like, hey, Cam, and I've known Cam from before. And I was like, dude, and he goes, well, you know, you got to pay me. And he knew I couldn't afford it. He was wealthy. He didn't need the money. He knew that if I didn't pay, I was not going to get the value, right?
That's the accountability side of it.
Yeah, plus it was serious, right? So I paying him, it made me make more money. And then he's the one that really sort of never told me the answer, but he asked me a lot. And Cam had been a very successful real estate guy that lost it all in Dallas and he was in front of the FBI. It was an interesting guy. He's dead now, unfortunately. And he's a guy that asked me questions to make me think. And then I was like, oh man, that's really interesting. And then that got the ball rolling. And then after Cam died, I couldn't hit him anymore. And I just kept going from one to the other to the other. But I think it's when somebody comes to me, I mean, most of my clients, and I do okay. Most of my clients are pretty big wigs, right? They make more money than I make and they're worth more than I'm worth. But I provide a value for them that they can't see, which is how can you become better? And once they understand that, then it becomes a very great relationship. So to answer your question about that is, it's who are they really? And it's not that who do I think they are, it's who are they? Who are you telling me?
Right, and that's what I'm saying about the mirroring thing. That's what makes you highly effective is that you're not projecting onto them of your perception on what you actually see. You're looking for the behavioral pattern. You're trying to identify areas of opportunity and you mirror back exactly what you're seeing and what they're communicating verbally or non-verbally to you.
Everything. I mean, it's all of the above. And you listen to what's being said, but also what's not being said.
That there it is right there. That's what I was looking for. It's what not is being said. It's what not is being said. And obviously what you're not communicating to yourself.
Exactly. And then once they know that, it's a bit of a shock to the system, but it's a relief because now they go, okay,
100%. There was a time, I'm not going to go into detail and obviously personal stuff, but there was a time, ladies and gentlemen, I was on a call with Marks, and this was in a live call. This wasn't anything, just us having a conversation. And he said something. I was like, whoa, back up. Say that just the way you just said it. And he said it, and it was like that pressure valve he hit. And it was something subconsciously, it was screaming to me, but I was ignoring because I didn't want to communicate it to him because I felt like I was going to be judged by communicating it. And that's where it comes back to is surrendering and actually communicating what you really, your deep and darkest secrets.
So I was coming out of the beach 2 days ago out of the water, and my bathing suit happened to have a zipper, and the waves were pretty gnarly. And my wife was there, I was there, my daughter was there.
Did you have one of those moments? You lost your trunks?
So I'm coming out, and there's a lady sitting next to us who's staring at me and giggling, looks at me, looks away. He kept staring at me, and I don't know what's going on. And out of nowhere, I look down, and my zipper's open. And my little guy was, you know, just kind of hanging out, having a good time, waving at the crowd, right? And so I just zipped up and kept on walking. It did not impact me one bit because it's who I am, right? Mm-hmm. I can't change its size. I can't change its width. It is who I am, right? And so to get my point is that I think that when we're happy with who we are in pursuit of who we want to become, we're impervious to most things. Mm-hmm. So if I had been, oh my goodness, I'm not really happy with the way my wee-wee is, then I would have been all subconscious and I would have bothered me. But I was like, hey, lady, you know, it is what it is, right? So, you know, and I'm sure she was happy to get a peek at it because, you know, she was smirking. But my point is that when we are at our best, mm-hmm. we're just who we truly are. And, you know, I met a guy who was very wealthy, but a total douchebag. Mm-hmm. But he was never anything other than a douchebag. Like, he made no apologies for being a douchebag.
He's consistent being an asshole. Yeah, I get it.
He was just an asshole himself. That was his true self. And it made him very successful monetarily. Terrible everywhere else. Monetarily successful. But you have to admire that, right? He just sort of knew.
Did you ever read that book with the asshole book? I can't remember the author. I read that book.
Oh, yeah. No, I have not. I've been reading lately more older stuff. Biographies, history, politics, but PGD stuff. Older stuff. I find such nuggets. Because, you know, with today's science and the knowledge of what I know, how to affect change, and what they discovered back, when you mix those two, meaning what should change and how to change it, it's a darn powerful combination nowadays. I mean, super, super powerful.
Well, that's what keeps you ahead of, I wouldn't say, it would say lack of competition in certain situations. If I knew that I needed to change this and why, and then investigate why it was important in my life and it aligns with my values, then I would go after that one specific person in the industry that was the best in the world at what they did.
Yeah, there's nobody better that I found at helping people make more money and work less than me. There just isn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're confident enough and you don't really care about what anybody else is going to say because you know with so much evidence.
I care about the results you get. I care that if you're a client, I care that you are getting what you believe to be value or more, right? That's what matters to me. It doesn't matter if I'm great or not. I mean, I could care less. It's, you know, I mean, but one of the clients we just picked up, within 3 months, the guy says, hey man, I've got my money worth. I'm good. I mean, he's still a client, but his evidence for his, man, you've done so much already that I'm good. You know, and this guy's worth a few $100 million, right? It's not an easy guy, meaning to change things. But I say that not to boast, right? But to say that I haven't found anybody better. Doesn't mean that doesn't exist. I just don't know anybody better. I know better speakers. I know better this. I don't know somebody better at that. I don't know why. You know, maybe because I went through it. I've done it so many. I have no idea. But that comes down to, you know, are you comfortable in your own skin? So back to discipline, which is what we talked at the beginning, right? Discipline is a exhibited behavior that's already been programmed in your willpower, based on your values and clarity. So I look at discipline not as a, wow, isn't Chris great? He's so disciplined, but there's as an evidence that something right has been already affected in your brain from previous, right? Like, you know, wow, Marx is really disciplined. Okay, what has Marx done to make that discipline happen? Mm-hmm. So discipline is a consequence, not the effect. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense to me. And that's why I wanted you to come on to the call. And I think that everything does happen for a reason. I mean, I mean, obviously you have it tattooed on your forearm for shit. Might as well. I mean, that's perfect. And I was sitting here thinking, So
let me just back up this.
Go ahead, please.
Discipline is an effect, not a cause. Mm-hmm. So there's cause and effect, right? So discipline is not the cause of success. It's the effect of a cause that leads to success. I just want to make sure I said that right.
Mm-hmm. No, that was our initial I think it was our first, was that our first podcast when we talked about cause and effect and we didn't even plan it? We went nuts on that one.
Yeah,
like, yeah. It, Well, that's what most people don't have the time for, because they're controlled by the external forces or whatever they feel that they're getting all this force. Well,
I'm so glad you brought that up, Chris. That's the most common cause of failure. And I didn't make that up. That was discovered by Napoleon Hill.
Yes.
Like in the 1920s, that when they do what others tell them to do, or when they do the influence of others rather than their own decision, even Jim Rohn said, right, be a student, but not a follower. Make sure that whatever you do is a product of your own conclusion, right? And so when somebody's out there not being their true selves, you know, if LeBron James tried to play basketball like somebody else, he would be LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but he plays like he plays. Now his coach helps him be a better him, but his coach doesn't change his attitude or change his style to make him something that he's not. And he's probably the greatest athlete ever played basketball. Although Michael Jordan, I think, in my opinion, is probably the best player ever.
I believe people don't know this about LeBron James. I would say it's the mental conditioning of LeBron James that makes LeBron James LeBron James.
I couldn't disagree with it. I don't know him, but I mean, that's the case.
I've investigated this high. He has a very high emotional intelligence. He can identify patterns pretty quickly. And I think that's what obviously with your reading and your gauging that type of energy, and then can make those proper adjustments. He's just where he needs to be at the right time.
It's like Wayne Gretzky, you know, he's the greatest hockey player of all time. He goes, I don't go where the puck is, I go where the puck's going to be.
Well, another perfect example, when just going back to basketball, Dennis Rodman.
Love Dennis Rodman. Love
Dennis Rodman's an insane. Well, Dennis Rodman knew that he wasn't going to stay in the lead long enough. He wasn't obviously physical, but he was a worm. That's what his nickname. So he took a basketball and threw it on the rim at over 100,000 times this one way. So if I needed to be there, I need to position myself here. So if he's on the top of the key shooting here, then I'm going to need to be positioned here or here or here, doing the best probable chance for me getting the rebound.
That's so interesting. You know, when I went, I met Muhammad Ali the first time when I was in my early 20s, and they were signing autographs. And there was Steve Garvey, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a total a-hole, and a bunch of people. And the only two guys that actually personalized and stayed until everybody had their sign was Muhammad Ali and Dennis Rodman. Mm. True blue guy.
One of the things that that people don't know about Dennis Rodman, every time he would go, he would he would make a donation, I think, like toys, like a children's place, and he would never have any press or ever any of that stuff.
Mel Gibson did the same thing. Mel Gibson, every time he did a movie in the place, he'd either build a woman's shelter or donate millions of dollars anonymously. Isn't that interesting?
All right. Guys, I hope you got a page and a half. Yeah, and some type of value, a page and a half full of notes. And yes, we went in a lot of directions when it came to the understanding and negotiating those excuses you have, and it pertains to, obviously goes and fights you off on your willpower and decreases that muscle. If that's one, everyone to think of one thing at willpower is just a muscle. That's all it is. It's a muscle. And then make the proper adjustments and whatever you need and what you deem to be valuable in your life. And if it aligns, then you can start being conscious of what you're aware of. And if you're not aware of, then you need to obviously renegotiate that time back into your day and investigate. Like, this is what it's all about, is then you can look at the cause and effect. And then that's where the discipline comes in my opinion. And I love that you mentioned that. It's just the consequence.
Yeah, it's, you know, there are three self-imposed limitations: procrastination.
Yes.
Excuses and blame, or procrastination, blame, and excuses, whatever order you want. And then they're all endemic of a lack of discipline, which is endemic of a lack of, you know, clarity and values and clarity in where you want and clarity who you are. So if someone's not disciplined, ask yourself the question, well, why am I not disciplined? Because you know what to do. Why am I not doing it? Find the benefit and go, well, how can I attain the same benefit of why I'm not doing that with something that I actually do want to do? And example would be, you know, when I was diagnosed as type diabetic, they said, don't exercise. I was like, okay, well, I want to live long and happy, so I'm not going to exercise. Turns out the benefit was live long and happy. Now I exercise, right? They're like, no, you got to exercise. Okay, great. So now I got to exercise. But the benefit was the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Live long and happy. So the behavior was no and then yes, but the benefit stayed the same. And I think this is a big, it's hard to understand, but it's a big aha. Don't beat yourself up for things you're not doing or things you are doing. Find out what's the benefit. and then find a way you can get the same benefit by doing what you want to do. If you can do that, discipline becomes easy because it becomes a consequence or an effect of a cause.
Right. And that just, it's a very simple method.
Not easy to employ though.
That was the point. But yeah, we're finishing sentences now. See what happens when we get start finishing each other. I know it's like, it just kills me. And all right, guys, be well, be great. Peace out. Much love. Stand by for tomorrow on Russ Johns at 2 p.m. Eastern time on the part two of Cultivating Discipline series with Winject Radio presented by Winject Studios. Marks, love you, man. Appreciate you. And I look forward to seeing the other side. Guys, be well. Peace. Got it.
Cast is brought to you by Winject Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.